Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a teaching that I started 2 weeks ago entitled, A Better Way to Pray. And I tell you, I've countered a lot of wrong attitudes, a lot of religious concepts about prayer. I know it's kind of terrified some people, edified other people, but I tell you what, I think that there is a lot of mistakes in the way that most people go about praying. And you don't have to look very far to understand that. Just look at the results most people get. You know, especially Christians, they pray, they all talk to the Lord, they all petition the Lord, and yet I could go into any church, I could go into any group, I could talk to any one of you individually and ask, has there ever been a prayer that you've prayed that you haven't seen that petition granted, that you haven't received the things that you needed? And just about every person would say yes. And see, that's different than what the Bible promises. The Bible promises that whatsoever things we ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. If you ask, you receive. The Bible promises success. The average person is not experiencing success. And so something has to be wrong with this process. And so that's what I've been doing. The first 2 weeks is just countering some of the major things, I believe, that have caused us to not have an effective prayer life. This week, I'm talking about what is the primary purpose of prayer. I first of all feel like I had to dismantle or counter those negative concepts, religious concepts about prayer. You got to, you know, get rid of a faulty foundation before you can put in a good foundation and build upon it. So that's what I've done the first 2 weeks. Yesterday, I started sharing that the real purpose of prayer is just for relationship with God. Now, that's a simple statement. Most people would think, oh, well, yeah, I know that, but, and then they go on. In function, as far as practical experience goes, most people may intellectually say that, yes, you know, prayer is so that you can love and have relationship with God. But as far as our experience goes, if you were to just categorize and put a percentage to what amount of time you spend just loving God, fellowshipping with God, thanking God, relating to God, not asking for something, not interceding for yourself or interceding for someone else, not repenting, not asking God to help you overcome something. If you just boiled it down to your time spent relating directly to God and visiting and fellowshipping with Him, then I can guarantee you most people would have virtually nothing left. You know, and again, let me put it into this concept. I think this will help us to be able to grab hold of it. But God is a person. He is God Almighty. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But He is a person. He has a personality. He's not just a force or a power. He's a person, and He loves you passionately. And He wants relationship with you. And so let's put it down on a person-to-person relationship. Let's say if you were trying to build relationship with me, how would it go if you talked to me the way that you talk to God? Did you know, without you realizing it, most people haven't just sat down and thought about this, but there are kind of preliminaries that we go through when you see a person. You know, if you call a person up on the phone and say you wanted them to do something for you, you don't normally just, you know, when they pick up the phone, say, hey, come over here and do this right now. You know, that would be considered rude. But instead, you would start off by, oh, how are you? You doing okay today? Is everything going fine? Hey, I've got a question. Would you do this for me? And you would put in your request, but you know what? You treat people better than we treat God. We go through some preliminaries about, you know, how are you doing? Boy, I appreciate you and things like this. How much time do we spend doing that with God? The average person doesn't. You know, here's another thing. I was just over in a country where they spoke a different language. I couldn't understand the words, but I was the driver that we had was listening to the morning prayer time on the Christian radio station. And it, of course, just grabbed my attention because I wondered what is going on. And this prayer time, they pray for, I think, 30 minutes every morning on this radio program in this country I was in. And It was just, it was in a different language, but it was something similar to this. It was going, and then they'd go on and they'd just repeat this over and over. And I mean, it was just this chant. It was like a mantra that they were going. And every once in a while they'd punctuate it with, whoa, and then they'd go right back to it. And I asked, what is that? And they said, oh, that's our morning prayer time. And you know what? The guy that was sitting next to me, my television producer, I just leaned over to him and I said, Stephen, what would you think if I started saying, come see me, Stephen, come see me, Stephen. I can't even say it that fast. But if I was just to repeat the same thing over and over, and if I was in your face, come see me, 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 come. And if I was just talking to him, I said, what would you do? And the first thing he did was push me away. And then he says, I'd want to hit you. And I said, you know what? I could believe that that's the way that God feels when people pray that way. And I know some of you may think I'm making a big thing out of nothing, but I tell you, God is not religious. He is not religious the way that people are. And some of our prayers, we get to where we just pray something over and over and over, and we go through like a mantra, a chant. You know, if you're going to be talking to God, and if you had this understanding that you are talking to a real person, at the very least, every once in a while, you ought to say like, over and give him an opportunity to get a word in edgewise. It ought to be a conversation. It's communion. It's fellowship. It's relationship with a person. If you can understand the point that I'm making right here and just implement this one thing, did you know that many of you, if you quit praying these prayers where you've got your prayer list and you just go through and, oh, God, bless this person, and, oh, God, heal this person, oh, God, touch this person, and if it was not about you just making it through your prayer list or spending 30 minutes in prayer or meeting your daily obligation or all of the other motivations and things we've got going on, if you were to make prayer number one, first and foremost, about just knowing God, talking to Him, having relationship, did you know that that would drastically change your prayer life? For instance, there's many people that, you know, I'm a Texas hick. And man, I've got this accent. People make fun of me and all of these kind of things. And yet I've known other Texas hicks just like me that talk with just as strong of an accent as I do. And yet when they get into prayer, all of a sudden they change to, our most gracious heavenly Father, we askest thou. And you start using Elizabethan English and change your whole voice and character. And, you know, forgive me for being honest with you, but I'm telling you, you're religious. You aren't talking to God. What would happen if you came up to talk to me and all of a sudden you just go, oh, Andrew Womack, I askest that thou wouldest come over to my house tomorrow night and visit with me. And if you started talking to me, you know what? I wouldn't be inclined to go see you. I would wonder, what's wrong with this guy? This isn't real. It's not honest. Why isn't he just talking to me in his normal voice? See, in relationships, if you talk to people the way you talk to God, you wouldn't have any friends. I'm telling you that God hangs out with us, many of us, primarily because He gave His word that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. But I tell you, He doesn't like it. If the Lord, you know, had an option, I believe that sometimes He'd just say, man, I'll come back whenever you get ready to talk to me in a real voice and talk to me without using Elizabethan English. Now, I use the King James Bible. I am not against, you know, reading King James, but I don't talk it when I pray to God. And I don't change my voice. And I don't get religious. And I don't do all of these things. You know, I shouldn't have to even be saying these things. This ought to be so obvious. And yet, it's amazing that when it comes to religion, when it comes to church, there are people that are just as phony as they can possibly be. There are people that are absolute hypocrites in the way they're talking to God. And the weird thing about all of this is God knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. You know, if the truth is, and if you are depressed and discouraged, and yet you come on and try and put on a front, and you try and say the right things because you think this is what you're supposed to say, and so you get into a prayer time and you start confessing, oh, God, I believe that I'm healed. I claim my healing. And you're saying these things. But then you go out of there and you talk to everybody else and tell them how sick you are and how that you're going to die and how you've been thinking about your funeral. God knows all of this stuff. Why do we try and con God? You know, you just need to be honest and real. And we need to approach God like He's a real person, like you are actually talking to a person that exists. Of course, He's not a physical human being. He is a godly person. He is supreme. He's infinitely greater than us. But man, He has made Himself available. He's made it very clear that He loves us, that He's accepted us, that we are accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. There's no reason that we have to approach Him with fear. We do reverence Him in the sense that we respect Him, but we don't fear God in the sense that we're afraid that He's going to reject us. He's proven His love to us over and over and over. And you can just come to God and talk to Him like He is real. I'll tell you, if you just get real and if you would focus primarily on just knowing God and loving God and not giving Him your grocery list and your all of these things that we go through and stuff, and instead just spend your time loving God and worshiping God, it would transform your personal relationship with God. I'm telling you, every time you become insincere, every time you weave that hypocrisy into your prayer, every time you become a different person when you're with God than you are with somebody else, you know what? You're just putting another layer of hypocrisy between you and God. It's like a callus on your fingers or something. You're building up layer after layer that is making you a little bit more insensitive, and then you wonder why God can't speak to you. It's because you think He has to talk in Elizabethan English to get anything across. You haven't ever found out who God really is. The primary purpose of prayer isn't to get your needs met, not to repent, not to intercede for somebody else. There's a place for every one of those things, but it's not the primary place. The primary purpose of prayer is just for relationship with God, loving God, fellowshipping with God, and worshiping Him and thanking Him. It's all built around relationship, intimacy with God. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. If we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these things would be added unto us. Let me just turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and take a few of the things that Jesus said in that passage that I just quoted and show you how the kingdom of God works. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Now think about these words as I read this. He says, take no thought. Now this doesn't mean that you don't plan your appointments during the day and that you don't plan, a retirement and some things like this. But this is obvious from the context that it's talking about. Don't be anxious about this. Don't worry about it, is what he's saying. And I tell you, this is contrary to most people's experience. You know why? They probably pray and ask for God's help, but they aren't in the presence of God and just drawing on the life and the peace and the anointing, the satisfaction that comes from a personal relationship with God. And so it makes them at a deficit to go against just the normal stress and care that comes against us on an everyday basis. I'm telling you that if you would just make the main thing the main thing, you could reach this place where you don't take thought for these things because you're in relationship with God and you know that God's going to take care of it. Actually, again, go back to a relationship. Think about a child with their parent. Did you know most kids that are 4 and 5 years old, they aren't worried about what am I going to do for retirement? What am I going to do? What about my job? What am I going to do about getting married? Did you know what? When you're 4 years old, that shouldn't be your concern. Your parents are taking care of you, and you just live a life to where you're trusting them, and you know things are going to work out. They're taking care of you, and you are living a carefree life because it's really not your responsibility. But then when we become adults, most of us assume all of this responsibility. And to a degree, yes, that's true. But I'm saying that we ought to have such a relationship with God that you constantly are casting your cares over upon the Lord because He cares for you. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Cast your cares over on the Lord because He cares for you. And if you were to do that, then you could reach this place to where you don't have care about things. You may think about it. You may say, God, give me wisdom. Show me how to deal with this. But it's not your responsibility. It's like a child with their parent. You go in and say, Mom, what's for dinner? You don't have to sit down and plan it. That's not your place. Your parents take care of you. They provide your meals. They do these kind of things. Your Heavenly Father wants to provide for you, and all He needs is for you to just trust Him. But see, that doesn't happen if you're all the time taking responsibility and care, and you're bombarding heaven, and, oh, God, I need this, and you've got to move, and please do this. If we would change our focus to where it's not so much about getting your needs met and getting this thing done and how to motivate God to do this, but instead, if you made the main thing, just loved God, fellowshipped with God, you'd reach this place where you take no thought for all of these things. In verse 26, it says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" How many of you can make yourself an inch taller by just thinking? Man, that's not how it works. You know what? If you can't make yourself an inch taller, then why are you worried about how to solve your retirement issues, about what's going to happen? Are you going to have health or sickness when you're old? What's going to happen in this relationship? Why do we take responsibility for all these things? Well, some people are saying, because if I don't do it, nobody will. What I'm telling you is that if you would just put your attention on the Lord and love God and crawl up, in a sense, in His lap and just enjoy the presence of God, did you know what? God would take care of solving your problems. That's a radical thought to most people. Some people can't wrap their mind around that because, first of all, they don't believe that God is that real. They don't believe that God is that personal. They don't believe that He cares that much about us. But I'm telling you that this is true. If you were to just really use prayer to establish relationship, just get to know God, spend time with Him, not asking for something, not binding something, not rebuking something, but just spend time with God, hang out with God. You would get to know Him, and it would change your entire focus. It would change your belief system. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that faith works by love. If you knew how much God loved you, if you were enjoying a relationship with God that was intimate and you were feeling the pleasure and the love of God, man, your worry and your fear about things would just dissipate. It would be gone. The reason some of you are so concerned and so worried and you're thinking, man, I'm staring defeat and failure in the face and there's no way out, is because you haven't been spending time just worshiping and loving God. You may have spent a lot of time praying and asking for help and binding the devil and praying for something else. But if you spent time worshiping God, faith works by love. The love that comes out of your communion with God would give you an edge up, a foot up on anybody else. You wouldn't be bothered by your problems. You know, before we made this program today, I was listening to a teaching my teaching on prayer. I was listening to a portion of it just to make sure that I covered some of these main points. And at the time that this tape set that we're offering you was made, it was in 2003. We were trying to get into this building that we now occupy. And I mean, it was a major step, biggest step I've ever taken in my life. And especially from where we were at that time, I was talking about how much money I needed at that time, and it was less than half. It was about, 40% of what it takes me to function and operate now. And at the day that I was making this tape I was listening to, I was talking about that our banker just came to us and said, the whole deal on this building that we're now in fell through. It looks like it's over. And I remember that. I remember when my manager came to me and told me this. But I was teaching on prayer and how that relationship with God just gives you a different perspective. And because you know that God loves you so much that it just, you don't have worry about things. Faith works by love. And I knew that God loved me and that things would work out. So as I listened to this tape, I made the statement that today I was told that this building deal fell through and it looks like it's over. And I said, but you know what? It's not a big deal. I said, God loves me. And if it's not this place, it'll be another place. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. And I was just praising God. And I made this statement. I said, you hide and watch. I said, in a short period of time, this will all be behind us. It'll work out for good. And we will come through this thing smelling like a rose. Here we are, 3-4 years later. And you know what? Everything I said came to pass. It wasn't that big of a deal. We got over that hump. And you know what? The thing that allowed me not to ever lose a night's sleep because of some of the troubles we were going through. Not to worry, not to have care, not to get into unbelief, not to become bitter at God because things weren't working out the way that I had thought that they would. The thing that allowed me to do that is because my primary purpose in prayer, the number one thing that I do in prayer is just love God, fellowship with Him, thank Him. I study the Word and I pray. And because of that, I've come to know God's love for me. I'm enjoying and experiencing the love of God. This isn't a theory to me. This is the way I live. Every day is dominated with just fellowshipping with God. You know, I just got back from overseas and I'm still dealing with some jet lag. I got up at 3:30 this morning, man. I was just wide awake thinking about things. And you know what? I went out and got my spa. I was looking at the stars, praising God for the stars, praising God for getting to be home, praising God for the good things. I saw the sunrise. I was praising Him for that. And you know, I have just spent the whole day fellowshipping with God. I really haven't asked for anything. My prayer life is not dominated and controlled by asking and pleading with God. And yet I need something like, I forget the exact figures, I need something like $1,500 an hour, every hour of every day of every week of every year. And that's just to pay our base things. And you know what? I don't worry about it. I don't have any problems. I don't have to petition God. It has been decades since I've asked God for money. And yet I have to have well over $1 million a month just to keep our ministry afloat and keep things going. I know that what I'm saying is just like I'm from another planet or something compared to what many of you experience. And you think you can't live that way. Well, don't wake me up because this is how I'm living. I'm telling you that my relationship with God is focused on Him and fellowship with Him, and I do not use prayer as a way to twist God's arm, to manipulate God. I use prayer as just a time of fellowship with Him, to tell Him how much I love Him. And man, I tell you, you can't outgive God. If you start thanking God and telling Him how awesome He is, God, it just blesses God. God begins to bless me back. My faith rises. He starts showing me things. If I'm in a problem, without me even having to beg Him or plead and ask, what do we need to do? He'll just start inspiring me, and I'll start having God-inspired ideas how to deal with this. I'm telling you that everything in the Christian life comes from relationship with God. And sad to say, that is not the typical experience of every Christian. It should be. And when we're talking about prayer, I'm trying to get across that the primary purpose of prayer is just to have fellowship with God, to love God. And if you would do that and make the primary purpose of prayer love and fellowship with God, everything else, when it does come time for you to ask, it would work much better. You know, I'm out of time today. I'm going to have to continue this on my program tomorrow, and it will be a blessing to you, so I encourage you to join me. And also listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get all of these products in the book that I have entitled A Better Way to Pray.
Andrew's teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The third audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this third teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY23 titled The Primary Purpose of Prayer When You Write or Call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month. And you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There is also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Charis Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
I have made my relationship with God the primary thing, and because of that, all of these peripheral issues, these small, insignificant things like needing $1 million a month, they just take care of themselves when you make the main thing the main thing. I know I've said that a number of times, but I know in my heart that most people do not live this way, and I'm telling you, it is a key. It's one of the things about prayer that has changed my life.